It's Sports with Amy Reid.
And watch Fox Sports reporter Mike Yuva on 102.3 The Fox.
Mike, big news for Gamecocks. They welcome Coach Beamer. What in your playing and in your reporting experience is next? How does a new coach establish a relationship with the team, with staff? What's the next 30 days or so look like for them?
Well, what's unique right now is that Shane Beamer, who's currently the associate head coach and the tight ends coach at Oklahoma, he actually flew back to Norman, and he's actually going to be completing the process of at least coaching through the Big 12 championship. So he's not actually going to be here in person. However, because of restrictions right now with recruiting and not being able to go into recruits' living rooms and talk with the parents and recruits face-to-face, a lot of the stuff that he's going to be doing anyway is going to be virtual. So with that being said, he's going to be doing recruiting virtually. He's going to be meeting with the team in terms of just having those one-on-one meetings now over these next couple of weeks to discuss, what players who are currently on the roster, what they're going to do, because I'm sure some players are going to transfer out. And he's going to have to be able to make a decision in terms of how is he going to start to gel this team and salvage this recruiting class in a year where things are obviously much different. But on top of the fact, he's up against the clock just because he has not too much time to be able to get things going.
Well, and now we are looking at four players from the Gamecocks who have announced their decision to declare for the 2021 draft. What, I guess this is a two-part question. How much does that affect the team? Were these four players already seniors? This was going to be their last season anyway. Or does it place, a burden on the team? And also, out of those four players, who do you foresee getting picked up?
Well, of those four players, only one of them was a redshirted senior. But the opportunity to come back next year was on the table for every player, regardless if they were a senior, redshirt senior, just because the NCAA granted eligibility relief to college football players this year, allowing them to be able to come back. This year did not hurt you and go against you in terms of your eligibility.
Okay.
So Darius Hutchinson had an opportunity to be able to come back next year, but he decided, no, I think I'm good. He played 5 years here. He redshirted during one of those years. That's why he was here for five. And now he'll be going to the NFL draft process. J.C. Horn, Israel Bukwamu, they opted out just a couple of days after Will Muschamp was let go. And we also had Ernest Jones, who was the leading tackler for the Gamecocks over the last two seasons. Someone who I've referred to as the heart and soul of the Gamecocks, a guy that, had an opportunity to come back next year for his senior year. And I keep saying senior year, but of course, they would have had an extra year if they even wanted that on top of that, just because of, like I mentioned, the eligibility relief this year. So of those guys, I think the one that stands out to me the most to be able to get drafted first would be J.C. Horn. He's a guy that could easily go in the top round in the first round of the draft. He had a tremendous game this past year against Auburn, and I think it really opened people's eyes up who maybe did not watch him consistently, because from a statistical standpoint, his stats don't really show how great of a player he is just because people were afraid to throw his way. So if no one's throwing your way, you're not going to really be able to generate stats, but he's a true lockdown. And what also helps him is the fact that he is the son of a longtime NFL player in Joe Horn.
And his brother's playing somewhere too, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, Joe Horn Jr. When you grew up in a football household like Joe Horn, you're obviously able to learn a lot, not just as a player, but just as an athlete in terms of how you're supposed to handle things. But the thing about J.C. Horn, which makes him just so unique, is the fact that his father played receiver and he plays defensive back. So he's able to learn how to play from the other way, from the other side of the football. But as you mentioned, his brother, Joe Horn Jr., he's currently in the NFL. He is he's a free agent right now, but he was with the Ravens, and he also played in the XFL for a short period of time. So, he's a receiver, but I just think it's always funny when you have someone in the family that says, Yeah, you guys did the whole receiver thing, but I'm going to go on the opposite side of the ball. And that's what J.C. Horn's been able to do.
Isn't it incredible to see some families just like the kind of, sometimes it's both, nature and nurture, but like you have all the Watts brothers who are in the NFL, Clay Matthews and his brother. Well, I think Clay Matthews is not currently playing, but and I don't know if his brother was on the Eagles. They were in the NFL. And then in basketball, you have all of the Ball brothers. It's pretty incredible to see. I didn't get a lick of talent from anybody in my family.
And you mentioned Clay Matthews. I mean, his father had an opportunity to play in the NFL as well. So, I mean, this is a family, Clay Matthews Sr. This is a family that knows how to generate talent. And I think the other thing, too, is what we see from a lot of these families. It's just, it's unique to just see the talent. But you mentioned the Ball brothers. I mean, look, who knows where they'll finish their careers out in terms of prowess of greatness and all that, because obviously it's way too early in their careers. But to be able to have three brothers to be able to go play in the NBA, I think it's just tremendous.
And I'm mostly happy because their dad is so entertaining on social media. He talks shit, and to me, that's hilarious.
No, I think it's fantastic. And I think a lot of people look at it and they say, okay, he's annoying. Yeah, maybe he's annoying, but at the same time, too, he's been there for him. You know, yeah. He's been a great father. And, you know, not every athlete can say that they've had that, especially people that get to play at the professional level. You know, I think that's one of the unique things from being able to cover athletes and the level that I get to, you know, with the SEC, high division one, professional athletes. You know, a lot of these people that you speak with who have that opportunity to play, you'll find out quickly that some of them just didn't have a father figure in their life, or they didn't have a mother in their life. And they view the opportunity to go play professional sports as a way to be able to help get their family out. So not everyone had to go through that, but some of them did. But the ones that had that opportunity to be able to have a father figure and a mother figure in their life, it's huge. So I think, you know, people who give, you know, LeVar Ball crap, I understand. But at the same time, too, it could be much worse, at least as a father figure in those three gentlemen's life.
Absolutely. And that's a good segue, because I want to transition to Gamecock basketball. First, I just want to quickly touch on Gamecock men's basketball. They canceled their game. They suspended activities because of positive COVID testing. Their next game is now, it's Saturday. Next Saturday, not this upcoming Saturday, but next Saturday against Clemson. How has this affected, I'm assuming, their ability to practice in person? And so what are they doing in place of that?
Yeah, right now they're just kind of hanging low. I mean, everything's on pause right now. And this is something that was a possibility in terms of things happening, not with just South Carolina, but with other basketball teams, just because you have those numbers, right? You have those numbers. But football is a little bit different. Basketball, I feel like everything's close proximity anyway. And the problem that you face is that, you know, even though, you know, from a football standpoint, you're not going to have an offensive lineman play quarterback, or unless you're like the Denver Broncos and you need to move people around the night before the game when all their quarterbacks were ruled ineligible because of contact tracing. But with basketball, the problem is the numbers are so small. So if you have a couple guys that fall under that, you know, in that contact tracing, you're going to be in a tough position. And I think that's one of the reasons why South Carolina had to pull the plug right now, or at least for the time being, and have to sit back. So as you mentioned, you know, their game this weekend against Wofford was postponed or canceled, excuse me. And now their upcoming game on December 14th at George Washington has been canceled as well. So this is something that we're seeing across college basketball. Duke has had to do the same thing too. So you're talking about some of these bigger name programs as well. And I don't think it's something that's going away, unfortunately. Mm. And hopefully once we do get into the new calendar year, once we get into conference play, for not just the SEC, but for college basketball as a whole, hopefully some of this will be able to be more contained. But as we know, we're in the middle of flu season, and I just can't see it going away anytime soon.
And for Lady Gamecocks, they're 4-1. So what's making their program so successful? And are there any standout players, whether new or veterans of the team, that we should be watching this season?
Well, it all starts with Dawn Staley and just the culture that she's been able to build with that program. Obviously, you know, she is one of the most decorated college basketball players, professional basketball players when it comes to women. And what she's been able to do from a coaching standpoint at South Carolina, turning a program that really wasn't known for women's basketball by any means to turn it into something that is honestly just like, I can't even compare it to anything, because it's something that we're just not accustomed to seeing. Because even during the time period when UConn women's basketball was going on their run, they weren't getting the type of support that South Carolina is getting. I guess the closest thing that you can compare it to is maybe the Lady Vols, Tennessee, when Pat Summitt was the head coach. Okay. So I think that's the closest thing that I can compare it to. So, you know, South Carolina, they had their opportunity of winning a national championship ripped away last year. They've had that mindset of unfinished business. Being able to get that loss, I feel like, just a week ago against NC State, a good NC State team at that, a team that was ranked number 8 at the time, I think that's going to help them out in the long run, because I felt like they needed a reality check. I think the toughest thing for them is they lost two tremendous seniors last year, and it was more than just what they were able to bring on the court from an ability standpoint. they brought so much from a mental standpoint and just the leadership standpoint. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that night against NC State, you were kind of missing that, especially with Ty Harris, you know, your point guard, being able to put people in the right spots, being able to calm people down a little bit and not just chuck up the ball. As Don Staley said after the game, it felt like I was watching some high school basketball, pickup basketball. So I think with South Carolina, it all comes down to just being in sync, being able to get things going in these sophomores because they have so much talent, young talent. People like Destiny Henderson, Zaya Cook, being able to get people like Leah Boston, being able to get people all in sync. And they definitely have the opportunity to be able to do that. What it just comes down to is just being able to slow down at times and not listen to this outside noise of everyone telling you how great you are, because that's a challenge, especially when you're a young player.
From a radio perspective, if you're putting together a morning show, you're putting, you know, two or three people in a room together, it takes about a year before they start to click and run. Is that what is that kind of timeline for building a basketball team? If you're losing, you know, a few of your very important seniors and you're relying on your younger talent, how long do we expect to, you know, do you give them some leeway so that they can learn how to gel and play together?
Yeah. And I think back to last year when South Carolina had, when they played some games, some non-conference games early in the year, and they actually had a trip. And, you know, they played outside of the country and, you know, it was something for them to be able to have a chance to be able to gel. And I thought that was so big for them to be able to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think more than anything, it's about being able to spend that time with each other away from the court, the stuff that's not practice, not game, not watching film. And when you do that, just like when you see on TV, like you see on radio, you know, one of my things is with some of the people that I work with, you go out, you go grab drinks with them. You know, you're able to develop a rapport. You don't have to be necessarily buddies with everyone. I mean, it's not always going to be the case, but you need to be able to develop that rapport, because that rapport is going to lead to trust. And if you can be able to build that trust, it will translate onto the court, especially if you're a good team like South Carolina should be from a talent standpoint. So, you know, right now, I think what we're seeing is we're seeing kind of a passing of the torch. Okay. In terms of not having, like I mentioned, Ty Harris and Kiki Herbert-Harrigan, those tremendous two seniors who were part of that national championship team back in that 2016-17 season, and they understood what success looked like. So now you have a younger team. You have a lot of tremendous sophomores, as I mentioned, who got that taste of success last year, and they only had to deal with one loss. They only had to deal with one loss last year, and they were winning games left and right. They had a 20-plus game winning streak heading into this year because of the season getting scratched last year at the end. So I think it's good to be able to have that humility. I think it's good to be able to have that wake-up call. And I think more than anything, what they need to be able to do is just continue to gel now, because not saying these games don't matter, but you want to be finding your groove once we get into January, going up against a very tough SEC schedule before, of course, you have to play UConn in there in February, and then you get ready for the NCAA tournament.
Before we head upstate, I want to just ask you a couple quick questions about high school, local high school football, just out of my own curiosity. AC Flora, which you had mentioned multiple times in our segment here, they're undefeated, right, all season. They win their, for the first time ever in school history, they win their championship. Is that attributed to the coaching or to the players? And if it's the latter, if it's the players, how many of the players are graduating this year? Will that look different next year?
It's certainly the latter, but you have to give a lot of credit to Dustin Curtis. I mean, that man, he's a tremendous person. And I've had a chance to be able to cover him over the last five seasons. Even dating back to his days when he was the head coach over at Westwood, he cares so much about those players. And he's the type of guy that just understands the game inside and out. And to be able to return to AC Flora, because this was his second time coaching at Flora, to be able to return back to the Falcons after coaching at Westwood the previous couple of years, to be able to come back and to be able to do this in your second year is tremendous. Colin Drafts, who was the previous head coach of AC Flora, he really got things turned around. And Dustin Curtis and those boys were able to finish the job. So, I mean, they have tremendous coaches. I mean, another guy on that staff is a former Gamecock quarterback and captain, Perry Orth. And they were able to be able to get some great coaches on staff there. And they worked tremendously with these young players. And, you know, it was just a lot of fun. But like I said, a lot of credit to Dustin Curtis. But especially during a year like COVID, you have to give a lot of credit to the players and the families, too. Because there's a lot of sacrifice that those guys and those families had to make to ensure that you would be able to play games, because we saw it happen with a couple other teams. And unfortunately, you know, some great teams, there was an undefeated team in Skeeza, and they had to have their cancel end because they couldn't play a playoff game because they had to be in quarantine. So everyone had to be on the same page this year. AC Florida was able to do that. As you mentioned, they won their first state title in program history. And how about this? This is the first state championship for District 1 team, I believe, for a team in Columbia since 1970. So it's absolutely incredible to see what they were able to accomplish this year.
That is incredible. And then Dutch Fork, which you've also mentioned in our conversations a few times, they were ranked, I think it was like number 18 on the high school football poll. They're coming off another undefeated season.
The national one at that, yep. Just to make sure people understand that. The national rankings, it's unbelievable.
And so, and then this is their fifth championship that they won?
Yep, fifth straight state championship. I mean, it's amazing to see what they've been able to do. They have not lost a game in their last 50th, but they're, 49-0-1 in those last 50 games, because they had a tie at the beginning of last season against a team from North Carolina just because there was lightning, and that game was actually a national televised game on ESPN.
So,
they're a team that just has so much talent, and they have a tremendous coach in Tom Knott.
Well, and that, so for 5 years in a row, that means at least some of those players have been on the team for four straight years. Are we looking at any college commits that we should be paying attention to for next year?
Well, I mean, one of the guys that made a commitment, and it's funny because it's kind of just been the way of life for Dutch Fork quarterbacks these last 2 years. You had a guy in Ty Olenchuk, who was the previous quarterback. He committed to Clemson to play baseball. Well, then this season, you have a new quarterback that transfers in, a new quarterback that transfers in, and not only does he get a commitment from Clemson for baseball, but he also commits to Clemson for football as well.
Oh, wow.
So it's incredible to see what they've been able to do. And I said the wrong name. I apologize. Will Taylor. Will Owens was his old teammate at Ben Lippin. But, yeah, Will Taylor comes right in, and Tom Knott mentioned it, that the challenge this year because of COVID, would you be able to have a guy transfer in and be able to pick up the offense, a very complicated offense at that? And, you know, people who have seen Dutch Fork play, they know that it's kind of like a college offense in a lot of ways. And, you know, Will Taylor was able to pick it right up, and he's just a tremendous athlete. But that knowledge to be able to soak all that in at, like a sponge, I think speaks volumes. So for any team to be able to win back-to-back championships is incredible. To be able to do it three times, four times, I mean, five times, it's absolutely insane. Because as you mentioned, you know, you go on to that fifth championship, you don't have those same players from their freshman year.
Yeah.
You know, this is a whole totally new batch. So to be able to continue this five straight years, it's incredible. But like I said, it all starts with Tom Knott, one of the most decorated high school football coaches of all time, not just in the state of South Carolina. He's won multiple championships during his time in North Carolina. Holds one of the longest win streaks in high school football history when he was at Independent, over 100-something games. I mean, Tom Knott, he just gets it. And Dutch Fork is fortunate to have him. And I'm excited to see what they can do next year, because they'll be trying to go for their sixth straight title.
Well, and as our players head to Clemson, that's a good transition, because my final question for you, Mike, is obviously Clemson preparing for their ACC championship game against Notre Dame. That's happening on the 19th. So they get another week and a half, essentially, to prepare for that. What are they focused on?
Well, they're focused on just making sure that they can avoid any COVID issues, on top of the fact of just being able to be healthy. And that's one of the reasons why the ACC decided last week that they were going to give both Notre Dame and Clemson the opportunity to have this week off instead of playing one more game before the ACC championship, which honestly, I don't hate. I don't hate. We're in a situation right now where things aren't going to be perfect. We've used that saying so many times. We're not just football, not just sports, but in life in general.
Yeah.
And to be able to get to this point of the season, and knowing that the reality is both those teams are going to make it to the championship. I mean, let's just call it for what it is. Miami, I understand that if Clemson lost one more game and Miami won out from conference standpoint, they would be playing in it. But Miami had an opportunity to be in the championship if they had beat Clemson earlier in the year. So Notre Dame, they've not lost any games this season in conference play, and they haven't lost any games in general. So they definitely deserve to be there. They had a chance to beat Clemson in double overtime, and they did just that. So So now, you know, it's part two. And I think if you're Clemson, you realize, like, hey, we have our starting quarterback back who did not play against Notre Dame that first time around. And we are going to be hopefully pretty much, I wouldn't say healthy, because at this point of the year, everyone's banged up to some degree. But we should be in a position that we have no excuses. We have absolutely no excuses to go out there and lay an egg. And if Clemson can't get it done, then unfortunately their season's going to come to an end. They're not going to make the college football playoffs. If they do win, though, and depending on how close this game is, if Clemson does pull it out, we could see possibly a part three, because Notre Dame and Clemson both might sneak in to the college football playoffs. But if Clemson wins, they'll definitely be in the top four for sure.
Well, Mike, what do you have going on this weekend for Watch Fox, and where can people hang out with you?
Well, Sunday night is Sunday Extra. We'll get you caught up. I mean, it's been a busy last couple weeks with South Carolina sports, not just here at USC, but, of course, with Clemson as well. So we'll get you caught up. 15 minutes of sports like you won't find anywhere else in the Midlands. Starts at 10:45 Sunday night. Watch Fox. Be sure to tune in. We'll get you caught up from all the local angles that you need to know about.
And they can catch you on Twitter at Mike_Yuva. I always like to see your Twitter. Also, I approve of your new idiot pizza that you got this time around. It didn't, whatever that one was before, I was like not a fan of. But every time you post them, I'm like, you know what? That does look delicious.
Yeah, so this one was the Cajun chicken with the banana peppers and green peppers. So I like green peppers on my pizza sometimes. The banana peppers is a nice combination when you have the Cajun chicken, because it kind of like balances the things out in terms of just like the heat and this. I think it's just perfect. So if people have never had banana peppers on pizza and they're hearing that and they're like, that's just stupid, give it a try first. Don't knock it until you try it. Get back to me and I'm sure you will enjoy it, because it is very good.
All right, Mike, we'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, thanks for having me, Amy.